Praise the Lord. Isn't it good singing about the blood of Jesus? I'll tell you what, if there's something that is absolutely going to just give the devil and demons a hernia, that's going to be singing about the blood of Jesus Christ, right? I know that sounds like a silly thing to say, but it's true. The devil has no answer for the blood. He's got no answer for the blood. And that blood was given to you and I. It was given for you and I. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad to be washed by the blood of Jesus? Oh, we're going to get into that a little bit here tonight. Are you ready for the Word of God? Yes, well, turn with me in your Bibles. Go over there to Ephesians chapter 1. And tonight, I have to confess, I have a lengthy title. And just bear with me. But we're going to call this message here tonight, From Worthless to Worthy, Redeemed by the Blood of Jesus. Amen. From worthless to worthy, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And of course, we're singing a very appropriate song here tonight. But we've been talking lately, since the new year began, I just kind of started to wrap up a series of messages about getting into the will of God. Let's get into all of God's perfect will in 2024. Amen. Not saying that you're not. Not saying that I'm not. But I'll tell you what. If we're, you know, if we find ourselves with one foot in and one foot out of God's will, let's get both feet into God's will. You know, let's make sure we humble ourselves. Let's subject ourselves to what God wants us to do. Amen. Both as individuals and also as a church family, let's do what He wants us to do. Amen. Let's submit ourselves to God. And we saw last week, you know, that even Jesus, He had to contend with Himself. He had to contend against His own will. Last week, I taught a message called God's Will versus Your Will. And we saw that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in the night before He was crucified, we saw that Jesus Himself, He had to, you know, go into the place of prayer, and He had to wrestle against His own will and desire to try to get out of the cross, right? He prayed, you know, to His Heavenly Father. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. How many of you know Jesus was tempted to have His own will? And remember what it said there in Matthew chapter 26. We saw that Jesus, He said this. He said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. Remember, Jesus said, my mind is filled and overwhelmed with emotion. It makes me not want to do what God wants me to do. Then Jesus also said this. He said, my flesh is weak, or the flesh is weak. He said, I can't trust my mind because it's getting, you know, overwhelmed with emotion. He said, my flesh certainly doesn't want to do what God wants me to do. But then He said, but the Spirit is willing. And He wasn't talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, in my heart, I found a willingness to do what God wanted me to do, even when my own will didn't want to. Folks, Jesus is the ultimate example of inconveniencing ourselves. If we have to get uncomfortable, you know, to follow God and to do the will of God, it doesn't matter what it takes. It doesn't matter what it costs. Let's do God's word. Amen. Let's get in the middle of God's will. Now, tonight, you know, this isn't going to be necessarily part of that series of messages, but we're going to talk about something that very much will help you get into the will of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I see people, Christians, all over the place that are struggling with the concept of worthiness. Struggling with the concept of worthiness. You know, there's a lot of Christians today that are struggling to know and to understand the redemptive works of Christ. Folks, how many of you know the redemptive works of Christ? Number one, we've been singing about it already, that we've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus. The number one redemptive work of Jesus Christ is to wash us and cleanse us from our sin. There's nothing greater than that. There's nothing more important than that. Amen. Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus? Amen. Aren't you glad? But how many of you know that that is not the only redemptive work of Christ? that Jesus paid for and accomplished several things for us on the cross. The Bible says that Jesus on the cross, he was wounded in his body and his flesh so that our bodies could be healed. Amen. Healing is a redemptive work of Christ. Also, there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's something that Christ provided for us. Also, peace and joy and freedom from fear in our minds. That is the redemptive work of Christ. Also, another redemptive work of Christ, the Bible says that on the cross, Jesus became poor so that you and I could be fully supplied. Amen. To take care of every need in our life. You know, and sometimes there's different people, you know, sometimes there's different, you know, whether it's churches or, you know, folks, you know, different Christians or denominations or whatever. Sometimes there's people that just don't believe in all the redemptive works of Christ. You know, we see a big surge of that happening in the days and times that we live in. Calvinism, surprisingly enough, is on the rise unlike ever before. You know, and there's a whole bunch of doctrines, you know, that are going around, and there's this attack to against all the things that Christ provided for us. Folks, we got to make sure we know what Christ provided for us. Amen. You know, but ultimately, the root of it is that people don't know or don't believe that they are worthy to receive from God. Folks, oh boy. People struggle with the idea of being worthy in Christ. Oh boy, it's even getting quiet in here already. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I'll tell you what, if we don't have the revelation of being worthy by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, let me make it clear, we are not worthy in and of ourselves. We are only worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ. Of course, without him, we're worthless, so to speak. But in Christ, we are extraordinarily valuable to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we have to have a revelation of worthiness if we're going to have confidence before God. If we're going to be able to go before his presence and receive his promises. Amen. Praise the Lord. Without a revelation of worthiness, God's people are going to lack boldness. They're going to lack confidence. Praise the Lord. They will waver when they ask God. If we're not careful, we'll get legalistic. We'll get spiritually dry. All of a sudden, you know, if we just believe that the only thing that God did was save us from our sins, I'll tell you what, we'll start to dry up. Got to be careful. We've got to get convinced of the redemptive work of Christ. Amen. And we cannot allow ourselves to lose a sense of worthiness before God. All right. Just as we get started here, let me just ask you a quick question. Here, this first one is extraordinarily easy. How many of you believe, raise your hands if you can answer this question with a big yes. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is worthy? Raise your hands if you believe in the worthiness of Jesus, all right? Now, I got a second, you know, question for you. Raise your hand, do you believe that you're worthy? All of a sudden, now there's some of you that are immediately answer that. I would say we had about 2/3 less hands that went up. And there's all of a sudden a lot of, you know, uneasiness when we ask ourselves that question, am I worthy? Now, what I mean by that, are you worthy if you are a born-again Christian? And folks, yeah, see, a lot, some of you are nodding your heads right away. Some of you are not quite sure. I'm here to tell you, if you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are worthy to stand before God, to go into his presence. You are worthy to receive his promises. You're going to see a lot of things that God calls you worthy of. And there's a lot of Christians, see, if we don't have a revelation of our worthiness before God, we will start to drift and there will become distance between us and God. Oh boy, boy, it sure gets quiet in here when you start talking about that. Have you found Ephesians chapter 1? Oh boy, maybe 3 or 4 of you have found Ephesians chapter 1. Have you found Ephesians chapter 1? Yes. Go over there. We're going to start in verse 3. And I'm going to read down through verse 8, and we're going to read the passage first, and then we're going to go back, and then we're going to teach what we need to get out of this passage of Scripture. All right, Ephesians 1:3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us with how many spiritual blessings? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love," meaning in his love. Praise God. Aren't you glad for the love of God? It says, verse 5, "having predestined us." Now, don't let that word predestined, kind of confuse you. There's a lot of people that get really tripped up by predestinated there. The word predestinated does not mean that God has already decided who's going to be saved and who's not. If that were true, that's a tenet of Calvinism, by the way. You don't want anything to do with that. If you believe that God has already decided who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved, well, then there would be no reason to go out and try to get people saved. But how many of you know we've got to go out and share Jesus with people so they can be born again, right? The word predestinated here, it means that God decided ahead of time, meaning he decided to provide Christ for us even when we were yet sinners. See, isn't that what Romans 5:8 says? That God demonstrated his love for us, that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? Amen. It just means that God made up his mind long ago what he wanted to do to save you. Having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein God the Father has made us what? Accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Everyone say blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And we could, if we wanted, we could just keep on reading. If you want to get into what God has for you, go ahead, spend some time in the book of Ephesians. You'll start to learn who you are in Christ, all right? Now go back up there to verse 3. Now I'm going to go verse by verse here, and I'm going to point out some things that the Spirit of God wants us to get a hold of here tonight, all right? The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, that's true. We should worship him, right? Blessed is our God and Father. It says, who has what? Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Folks, how many are all spiritual blessing? How many is that? All means all, right? Folks, I really sometimes, my heart goes out to people when they don't believe that God, has everything that they need in this life. There's this idea that God will do this, but he won't do that. He'll provide for you this way, but not that way. How many spiritual blessings has he blessed us with? All spiritual blessings. I'm telling you, I believe that God's unlimited in his love towards us. I believe he's unlimited in his love towards us. No, I'm not talking about money and, things like that. I'm talking about his love, his desire to take care of us, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. But notice this, it says that he has what? Blessed us. Folks, we got to understand how blessed we are. Remember how we've been talking about this maybe just about a month or two ago? I was teaching a series of messages there out of Galatians chapter 3. How much are we blessed? 100%, Brother Stephen. There you go. He wins the door prize, right? Remember we went over there to Galatians 3:13. It says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham would come on us, the Gentiles, through faith. Praise God. Aren't you glad? So the Bible says that Jesus became a curse. He took the curse from us, and he put the blessing of Abraham upon us. So we were saying this, we are 0% cursed. We are 100% blessed. Now, that word blessed, it trips some people up. Folks, that word blessed, are you ready? Here we're going to go. Here we go. That word blessed, it does not mean a state of financial being. It does not, it's not talking about the state of your material belongings. Though we know this, how many of you know God does have blessings for us in our life? Amen. You know, God wants to bless your business. Absolutely. He wants to bless your home. And God does have good things for us, even materially. But this word bless is not talking about a state of financial wealth. This word blessed here is talking about a state of approval. A state of approval. Being blessed isn't just talking about, you know, something that belongs to you or something nice that you have. The word blessed means that God has put something on you. He has made you unique. He has made you different. The word blessed, it means being set apart, amen, by God's approval. When you have God's approval, you have the highest approval that exists. This is what human beings need more than anything in existence. We need God's approval. And when Jesus Christ shed his blood and he died and he rose again and we put our faith in the risen Christ, when we confess him as Lord and Savior, we now receive the approval of God. Folks, literally, at that moment you become a Christian, God comes to live on the inside of you and he will approve of you just as much as he approved of Jesus himself. Amen. When you have God's approval, there's no higher approval. The greatest blessing in your life is to know that God has decided to put his approval on you. Does that mean that we've always done everything right? Does it mean that we've deserved that approval? No, we didn't earn it. No, we didn't deserve it, but he gave it to us anyway through Christ. Amen. When Jesus rose again, Jesus wasn't just coming to pave a way for us to get to heaven. He was paving a way for us to have the approval of God. Literally, that word blessed means God's approval, who has approved us to have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Praise the Lord. It's not a position of wealth. It is a position of God's approval. Folks, how many of you have the approval of God? Ooh, some of you are still not sure. This is why the Lord would have me to teach this. Because if you can't instantly know that you're walking in that state of God's approval, so you're going to miss something. God wants you to know how approved you are. And of course, that's assuming that you have a heart to obey him, right? Amen. But I'm just saying that when you began your relationship with God through Christ, he stamped you with his approval. Folks, this is priceless. You got to understand how important it is. It doesn't matter who or what approves of me or disapproves of me in this life when I have the highest approval. I'm talking, when I say me, I'm just talking proverbially. This is how, you know, we all should think, right? Folks, is there going to be times in your life when, you know, people show their disapproval of you? Oh, yeah. Is there going to be times also when people show their great approval of you? Yeah, absolutely. Folks, you know, just from a pastoral standpoint, you know, I could have days or weeks where, you know, people will just heap the approval on, you know, and I, of course, appreciate encouragement and stuff like that. And there will be times when people will just say such great and nice things. But how many of you know that there's also times when people do not say the nicest things? You know, when people say, you know, nice things to us, you know, meaning, you know, any of us, you know, we can say, oh, well, praise the Lord, glory to God, appreciate the kind words, right? But I tell you what, it doesn't feel good when someone tears you apart, when someone tells you, you know, how rotten you are. And I'm not going to go into details, but that does happen to me quite a bit. That happens to me, you know, and I know it happens to other pastors as well. You know, people getting upset with me, you know, people getting upset with me by what I wear, you know, people getting upset with me, you know, for ridiculous things, you know, stuff that just happens. And you know what? When they say those things, guess what? Right? I have His approval. You know, and even when people are trying to heap on praise on you or whatever, don't take that to heart either. Just say, well, all glory to God, you know, praise the Lord. But folks, it doesn't matter who approves or who disapproves of you when you know that you have the ultimate approval. Amen. Folks, this is the blessing of knowing Jesus Christ. I have His approval. You have His approval. Doesn't mean I've done everything right. Doesn't mean you've done everything right. But in Christ, through His precious blood, that stamp of approval was by the blood of Christ. Amen. It's not a state of what stuff you have. It's the state of having God's highest approval. Amen. See, I'm just starting with this because you need to go, you know, through the teaching of the word and let it get into your heart, where you start to realize that you're worthy to stand before God. You're worthy to receive His promises. God wants you to know. You know, He wants you to know and to understand that He wants you to receive from Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not living for the approval of man, and I'm not living on the approval of man. We should all live on and for the approval of God. And we know what the Bible says, that when you seek to be approved by God, right, it doesn't mean that every person is going to approve of you. Amen. Don't live for the approval of man. Don't live on the approval of man. Folks, you can see humanity is so desperate and desires so much to live on approval. Folks, what do you think social media is about these days? Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to go on there. I've used it and stuff like that. Of course, a lot of good we can witness on there. We can, you know, spend time with family and share pictures, and don't misunderstand me. But how many of you know that social media is filled with people that are desperate for approval? They're desperate for recognition. You know, they'll say some deep philosophical thing on there. Or maybe they'll take a picture of their food or whatever, and then the next morning they wake up and they want to count all the likes. Who responded? Who liked it? Because humanity is hungry for approval. And I tell you what, again, it's not man's approval that we should be after. We should be after God's approval. Our identity should not be found trying to get people to like us, trying to get, you know, people to see our lives and all that stuff. Our approval comes from heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. We see people that can get so desperate for approval that, you know, they will get into vanity. Of course, there's nothing wrong with trying to look nice or whatever, but we're saying people will go under, you know, surgeries to look better. They will put things in their body that are foreign and dangerous. You know, they'll do all these things because they're trying to fulfill this need for approval. They want people to approve of what they say. They want people to approve of how they look. Folks, the only approval that is ever going to fulfill and satisfy your life is a deep heart revelation that your Heavenly Father approves of you, right? Amen. Blessed be our Heavenly Father, you know, in our Lord Jesus Christ, who has decided to bless us with His approval. Hallelujah. I know some people, they don't get excited about that, but it is what you need more than anything. It's what I need more than anything. You know, people are going to say stuff that are mean. Who cares? If you got God's approval, people are going to heap praise on you at times. Maybe you deserve it. Maybe you don't. Who cares? We can't do anything apart from Him, right? John 15:5, apart from Him, we're nothing. Amen. Glory to God, the approval of God. So notice this, where? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, who has approved us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In heavenly places in Christ. You're there in chapter 1. Hold your place there. Actually, I don't even have to turn the page in my Bible. Go over to chapter 2 and verse 5. What does it mean when God has blessed us in heavenly places with Christ? What does that mean? Oh, here we go. Go to Ephesians 2:5. It says this, even when we were dead in sins, that describes every human being before they know Jesus Christ. We are all dead in sins until we know Jesus. But in Christ, it says God has quickened us together with Christ. What does that word quickened mean? What does that word quickened mean? Who knows that? It means made alive. That's right. Amen. He has made us alive together with Christ. We're right in Ephesians. We just turned over to chapter 2. He's made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. So we're alive with Christ. Anyone in here alive in Christ here tonight? You got to know that. Look at verse 6. It says, and God the Father has raised us up together. So we're alive together with Christ. And now we're what? Raised together with Christ. But look at the rest. And God has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So as far as God is concerned, where are you sitting right now? You're sitting on the throne with Christ himself. Do you realize that? Do you realize that God, the way he sees it in his mind and in his being, he sees us sitting down in that same throne that Jesus is seated, you know, at the right hand of the Father? Amen. Hey, can you bring up Revelation 3:21? Let me show you another verse. Glory to God. Jesus speaking here, Jesus says this to Christians. He says, to him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I'm sat down with my Father in his throne. So Jesus says to Christians, he says, if you overcome in this life, he said, I put you on the throne with me, just as much as I am on, Jesus is on the throne with the Father. Folks, are you getting a hold of this? Folks, remember when we looked at this a couple weeks ago in James 1? It says that the Bible is a mirror, and we are supposed to look into the mirror of God's Word and see ourselves. Do you see yourself where you are seated with Christ? You are seated in heavenly places. You are approved of God to sit on Jesus' throne just as much as Jesus is worthy to sit on God the Father's throne. So let me ask you this question. If you were unworthy, would you be allowed to sit there? If you were unworthy, if you were unapproved, there would be nothing unworthy that's allowed to sit on that throne. Folks, it's not our own actions that make us worthy. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that made us worthy. Do you see where you are seated here tonight? I know right now it seems like we're sitting down in a building on, you know, 6075 Peach Street. But in God's mind, you are seated on the throne with Christ. Glory to God. Get that into your heart. Because it's from that place you will receive and know God. You will know him from that place of knowing that you're seated. See, a lot of Christians, we go to the cross like we should. The cross is where our sins are crucified. The cross is where we come and lay down our life to God. But how many of you know Jesus went to that cross so he could take us to the throne? The cross was not the final destination. The cross was the first destination. But the destination was ultimately to get us to that place where we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Folks, that's something that we've got to believe. Now go back over there to Ephesians 1:3. When it says that you're in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, you're sitting there with him. Yes. Only way you can get there is if you're worthy by the blood. So now let me ask you this question again. How many of you believe that you're worthy by the blood of Jesus Christ? You're worthy by the blood. You've been made worthy. See, folks, you're going to see here in a little bit that worthiness is what draws you to your heavenly Father. Christians who feel unworthy before God will be separated from him. If you look to your heavenly Father and you kind of have this kind of, you know, this feeling of being scared of him, don't dare to talk to him, don't dare to you know, say anything to him. If you've got like this attitude or this heart that kind of dreads the idea of talking to your heavenly Father, then somewhere along the line, the devil has convinced you you're not worthy. The devil is going to constantly come to you and he's going to tell you about your past. See, what is that? What is that reminder of your past? It's an attack on worthiness. The devil's going to come to you and he's going to knock on your mind. He's going to give you thoughts. You don't do enough. You don't do enough for God. You don't pray enough. You don't read your Bible enough. You're not good enough. You've been overlooked. You haven't been used. People haven't called on you, or so-and-so is better than you. They're more talented than you. Oh, they pray more than you. They're more spiritual than you. All that stuff is there to attack the approval or the worthiness that Jesus Christ purchased for you and I. Are you here tonight? The blessing of knowing that you've been washed in the blood is knowing that regardless of who approves me or who sees me or not in this life, God sees me, God approves me, and we got to trust that He's going to put us in the right place at the right time. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. So where are you seated here tonight? You're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. How many blessings, spiritual blessings, have you been blessed with? All. This sounds a lot like Romans 8:32, doesn't it? Remember our verse? We would always keep going back to Romans 8:32. But if God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also in Christ freely give us all good things? All things. I look at Ephesians 1:3 and I said, there it is, it's settled. All my needs are met. If I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, and if I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ, all my needs will be met. Even when I'm challenged in this life, even when hardships come, guess what? Ephesians 1:3 is still true. Even if I feel like I haven't been good enough, guess what? I couldn't be good enough. Jesus was good enough for me. Amen. Are you here tonight? I guess if I got to get excited about it, I'm, praise the Lord. I love the word. Go to verse 4. It says, according as He has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in front of Him in love. Isn't that awesome? We could say it this way, that we should be holy. That word holy, it means to be set apart. Again, that word holy would refer to approval. Do you know that God has put holiness upon you? Now, some Christians, they don't walk in holiness. But holiness and righteousness is what God gave you freely when you became a born-again Christian. It's not something that you can get on your own. See, holiness is what sets us apart and allows us to stand before God. And it says when we stand before God, we stand there without blame. That word blame, we could say it this way. We're without blame, without shame, without guilt. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to enjoy myself here tonight. Oh, God is so good. Notice in verse 4, let me ask you this question. Who put you there? Who put you in this place of approval and all spiritual blessing? Whose idea was it to give you this free blessing and holiness to stand in front of God without blame, shame, or guilt? Whose idea was it? The Father's. That's right. According as it was His choice in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Notice this. It was His choice. God the Father put you there in front of Him without blame, without shame, without a guilty conscience. Oh. See, when people hear a message like this, it upsets some people. Because they hate to hear this statement. I'm going to say something right now, you know. Oh, I can't. I won't even tell you why I have to say this. But I'm going to say it. If Jesus lives in you, if you've made Him your Lord and your Savior, you have just as much approval in front of God the Father as Jesus Himself. I'm going to say that again. If Jesus Christ, if you have received the blood and the washing of the blood, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, God has put equal approval upon you as He did His own Son. I could, if you want verses, I'll give you several. I'll take you through them all. I mean, oh my goodness, that is what the Scripture tells us. The Bible says Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus was the first God-indwelt man on this earth. He was the first of many. He's the King, capital K, of kings. Who are the lowercase k's? Oh, see, Christians, we're not aware of who we are. Let's go to, let's go off the page. Caden, should we go off the page? We should go off the page. Brother, bring up for us Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. We're going to read verses 5 and 6. See, when I see as a pastor, when I start to see Christians, you know, start to shrink from these ideas, I'll go back and I'll rehearse it. Because I'm not talking about being arrogant before God. I'm not talking about, you know, thinking we're something. We're nothing without Him. But we have to remember, in Christ we can do all things. Amen. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful and the first begotten of the dead. He's the first begotten of the dead, not the only begotten of the dead. Remember, you are alive together with Christ. You are raised together. When Jesus was buried, you were buried with Him. When Jesus rose again, you rose again with Him. When Jesus sat in those heavenly places, you were seated with Him. Do you understand this? Amen. When I say this, I'm not saying, well, you know, not saying you don't understand it. I'm just encouraging you, right? Jesus, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead. See, if you're born again, you are begotten from the dead. Even when we were dead in sins, the scripture said. All right. He's the prince. Jesus is the prince of the kings of the earth. And people think that, well, the kings of the earth, that's political people. No, it's not. Unto Him that loved us, washed us from our sins in His own blood. Does that describe you here tonight? Are you washed from your sins in His blood? Yes. Now, verse 6 is still talking about you. Jesus washed us in His blood and has made us kings. Who are the us that we're talking about here? Talk about Christians. He's made us kings and priests. Do you know why there's no such thing as a priest in the New Testament outside of Jesus Himself? That office was done away with because how many of us get to be priests now? All of us. Who were the priests of the Old Testament? They were the only ones allowed to go into the presence of God. Everyone else was shut out. But in the New Testament, He says, you're washed by the blood. Come on in. Come before My presence. Come and sit on the throne of God with Me. Come and be approved. Come and be washed of your sins. Glory to God. He's made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. Who are the kings and the priests? Notice, Jesus was the king of the prince of the kings of the earth. He's the King, capital K, of the lowercase K, of the kings. The kings is not the president of the United States, it's not the prime minister in England, it's not, you know, monarchs and all this stuff on this earth. The kings that Jesus is the king over is His body, the body of Christ. Christians. Yes, it says He's made us through the washing of His blood. He's made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. I'm just led to go a certain way. Can you bring up for us, brother, Romans 5:17? Bring up Romans 5:17. I'm being led by the Spirit, and there's a very specific reason why I'm being led by the Spirit here tonight. And I just cannot tell that to you. Say, Pastor, stop doing that. You're teasing us. Maybe by the end of the service, if the Lord allows me to share it, I'll share it with you. But I just don't believe in grandstanding experiences. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, talking about whose sin that allowed sin to reign and death reign upon the human race. Who was the first? Yes, someone just said it. It was who? Adam's sin. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, it says death reigned through that one. Meaning death was passed down to all the human race because of Adam's trespasses. But it says, much more, everyone say much more. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Glory to God. So notice, do we have anyone here that has received the abundance of grace through Jesus? It says, what shall you do in life? Reign in life. Can you bring up the Amplified? I love how the Amplified Bible is, it brings out the original Greek. Because if one man's trespass, lapse, and offense, death reigned through that one, it's talking about Adam, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace and unmerited favor and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself. Doesn't that sound like approval? Doesn't it sound like worthiness? God puts you into right standing with himself. You will what? Reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Folks, it doesn't mean life will always be easy. We know it's not. We know that there's challenges. We know that stuff comes. We know that there's a real devil and demons that try to prevent us and hinder us and things. But folks, my heart as a pastor is for every single one of us to know and understand how God looks at us and thinks of us. Right now, he's thinking of you. If you're a born-again believer, he's thinking about you sitting on that throne with Jesus Christ. He is sitting there thinking of the fact that his blood has made you a king and a priest. He's thinking about how you are now worthy to come into his presence, to talk to him, to fellowship with him. Folks, when we understand worthiness, it won't be a thing where we say, I have to pray, I have to read my Bible. We'll say, I want to pray. I want to be in the Word, because you know, I don't pray or read my Bible to become worthy. Jesus and only his blood can make you worthy. And worthiness will draw you to serve God out of a sincerity and out of a gratitude that says, thank you, Lord, because of what you gave to me. You gave to me this approval. You gave to me this righteousness. You gave to me this worthiness to stand before you. So therefore, I want to use it. Glory to God. Amen. I don't know where I am in the regular message here. Go back to Ephesians 1. Are you here tonight? We're getting ready to wrap this up. All right. This is what the devil is going to do. Everyone listen to this. He's going to work overtime to attack your sense of worthiness in Christ. Like I said, the devil's going to remind you of your past. He's going to remind you of your mistakes. He's going to remind you of your failures. He's going to remind you of your spiritual laziness at times. Has anyone ever been spiritual lazy before? All right, we got some honest people here tonight, right? We've all been there. The devil will remind you of that. The devil will tell you don't pray enough, you don't read your Bible enough, or you're not this or that enough. Yeah. The devil will remind you how you've been overlooked, or you haven't been recognized, or that you've been disapproved by people. Come on now. The devil will provide thoughts nonstop to attack our worthiness in Christ. Amen. Look at verse 5, Ephesians 1, 5. It says, having predestinated, meaning God decided ahead of time, predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Folks, here's another thing we are. We're adopted. We've been adopted by God through Christ. What does it mean when you're adopted? Of course, I know several people that were adopted. It's such a special, miraculous thing. All right? A lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times, you know, a child is put up for adoption because in some way or another, that pregnancy was unwanted. All right? And what adoption is somebody comes to that child and takes them as their own child, and that child now gets their name. That family now takes care of that child. That family loves that child. Think about what a miraculous thing it is, adoption is. And the Bible, you know, basically is telling us here that just like an adopted child, God looked at us and saw that we were unwanted. Obviously, humanity had sinned. We had become unwanted, undesirable. And we were literally, when I say this, bear with me, in God's eyes, remember, we were full of sin and we were ugly in His eyes. We were ugly in His eyes, and God in His love said, I'll take that one. Aren't you glad? Thank you. I mean, and then of course, God said, okay, I want that one. He looked at you and He looked at all of humanity and said, I want them. Even though they've sinned and they've fallen short, I want them. Think about that. And then God had to figure out, well, what's the price? What do I have to pay to get them? And of course, who did we belong to? There we go. That's exactly right. Before we knew Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus Himself said in John 8:44, He said, you are of your father, the devil. Apart from God being your father through Jesus Christ, every human being, until they know Christ, belongs to the enemy. Think about that. So God had to pay, or literally ransom. He had to give up something. He had to pay for humanity if He was going to get us back. You know, and again, I'm just saying this for illustration purposes. God, you know, asked, well, how much? How much do I have to pay for this sinful, unrighteous, unworthy human race? And the devil said, there's only one thing that I'll accept, and that is the death of your son. Think about that. That's what God heard. The only thing that'll be enough for me to even think of letting go of this human race is your own son dead. That was the price. Imagine that. Imagine going, and just for illustration, bear with me, it's just an illustration. Imagine going and looking at a car that is so rusted and broken down, the wheels are falling off, the frame is broken, it's rusted right through, and you turn to the owner and say, all right, how much for this, you know, piece of junk? And they say, well, if you want to buy it, it's going to cost you your firstborn. And then in your heart and your mind, you'd be like, what are you talking about? That's the decision God had to make. God said, the only option is that I have to put my own son on the cross to win every single one of them back. And the devil basically said, yep, that's the only option. And so God said, I'll pay it. If I can adopt that one, I'll give my own precious eternal son. If I can adopt you and you and you, that is what God did. And when you and I got adopted through the blood of Jesus Christ, we got His name. Just like a child who was born to, you know, different parents, but if they were put up for adoption, whoever adopts that child, now that child will get their name, their last name. And in the same way, God looked at us and He said, I will pay whatever it takes to adopt them so I can bring them into my family. They'll be my son, my daughter. They'll have my name. They'll walk in my blessing. They will sit on my throne. I will wash their past. I will wash their sin. I will make them kings and priests. Folks, we got a good deal. Oh, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. And it says He's adopted us through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of His will. He took joy in redeeming us. Wow. And then it says in verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us what? Accepted. Well, couldn't we say it this way? Approved. He made you worthy. Oh, man. Very glad. And now look at verse 7. We're going to get ready to end right here. In whom we, in Christ, we have what? Redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The blood of Jesus Christ has redeemed us. Do you know what the word redeemed means? It means to buy back. There we go. I tell you what, brother just needs to come out of here. Give him the microphone. Here we go. He's on it over there. That's exactly right. It means an exchange or a price paid. Amen. You know, I love that definition. In whom we have been bought back through His blood. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There was an exchange. There was a transaction. God says, I want to buy them back. How do I do that? And the only option was the blood of His own eternal Son. Folks, do you know the Bible records that actual transaction? Do you know what that looks like? The Bible describes it. Let me take you there and we'll end here. Go over there to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Do you know the scripture gives us what it looked like when Jesus bought us back? He reconciled us back to God. When someone led you to the Lord, when you prayed, whether it was in church or maybe someone led you to Jesus, that moment you confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were bought back. You were reconciled back to God. You were approved. You were made worthy. Your sins were washed. Your past was washed. And now, why am I teaching you about worthiness? Because worthiness will equal boldness. And boldness is the only way you can go to God. The book of Hebrews tells us that too. He says, boldly come before by throne of grace. Do you know when you go before your God, your Heavenly Father, you are supposed to know what He's done for you. We're supposed to know that His blood gave us the worthiness to stand before God. We're supposed to belong there. We're supposed to act like we belong there. When Christians go before God and act wimpy, they say, oh Lord, I know I don't deserve it. Oh Lord, I know I'm unworthy. If you tell God you're unworthy, you are insulting Him. I said that on purpose too. I have to say these things. If you go before God and you think you're going to receive by confessing how unworthy you are, then the blood of Jesus must mean nothing to you. When you go there and say, Father, you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the seed of Abraham. Father, I've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm a king and a priest. Father, you said that if I would come in that name, you said that you would hear. And Lord, you said over there in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, this is the confidence that I have in you, that if I ask anything according to your will, you hear me. And if you hear me, the scripture goes on to say, I will have the petitions I desired. When you go before God, you're supposed to know who you are through that blood. Don't think that God is looking to hear from someone who's a Christian, who's accepted Jesus, but then they have no concept of their standing in front of God. He says, I want you to rule and reign like a king. I want you to come before my throne as if you deserve to sit on it with me. Because that's what the scripture says. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Jesus says, to him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame. And I sat down with my Father in his throne. Are you here tonight? Oh, glory to God. Here we go. Let's end right here. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Let me tell you what that's talking about. It's not talking about the tabernacle or the temple that was on the earth. This is talking about the one that exists where? In heaven. In heaven. Jesus became a great high priest. Remember, if you know your Old Testament, the high priest was the one that walked into the holy place with the blood of a spotless lamb. That was what the reason why those things happened in the New Testament or the Old Testament was to be a type and a shadow of what Christ himself would do one day when he walked in to heaven with his own blood. Do you know that? He walked into heaven with his own blood. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. This isn't the man-made one. This is the heavenly-made one. Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, not of this world. Verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in. Now this is the transaction. I get chills talking about this. Sometimes Christians, they just go, does this matter to me? You better not. I mean, I don't care from my standpoint, you know, being the preacher. I'm just saying the truth of this. Now, start using your imagination. What did it look like? Jesus entering in with his own blood. Is it in a vessel? Is it in a bowl? I don't know. But however you want to imagine it, start imagining it. He walks in before his heavenly Father in heaven. He's walking before the throne of God. He enters in with his own blood, not the blood of some animal, but his own blood. This is that transaction. Here it is. He walked in once into the holy place. Why does it say that Jesus only entered once? Right? Because in the Old Testament, they had to go in all the time. Right? And also it means he's not going to do it again. He's not going to do it again. Oh, we won't go in that direction. I'll really get people mad. And once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Everyone say redemption. Yes. There it is, the purchase. He walks in. I'm going to start crying. He walks in, you know, and literally, what did that look like? Think about that. Glory to God. And God the Father says, yes, I receive it. That's enough. That's enough. Having obtained eternal redemption, he walked in. This was that moment of that transaction. Somewhere after his resurrection and when he ascended, remember how he told Mary, he said, don't touch me for I've not yet ascended. Remember that? And so we know that he ascended, and at some point he walks in and purchases for us this eternal redemption. Wow. Verse 13, it says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh. Folks, verse 14, every single one of us, we got to get a hold of what this, here is the culmination. This is the reason why I'm teaching you this message. How much more shall the blood of Christ, how much more, who through the eternal Holy Spirit offered himself without spot to God his Father, how much more shall his blood purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What does that mean? This is what this whole message is about. This is why you got to have worthiness. This is why you got to know who you are before him. The Old Testament was called dead works. Remember? All the stuff they had to do. God made those works dead on purpose so that they would see this isn't working. I sacrifice an animal today. Next week, I got to sacrifice another one again. Nothing was ever good enough. People were just going through dead religious ritual. And God said, if I wash them with the blood of my own son, it will purge or cleanse their conscience from dead works. And they will start to serve the living God, not because they have to, but because they want to. They will desire to. Folks, this is why prayer is hard on some people. Like, this is why sometimes people are like, oh, I know I'm supposed to pray. I know I have to, but I don't. Folks, the reason why that, I mean, whether it's prayer or reading your Bible, all of a sudden your flesh fights it and all that stuff, somewhere along the line, we lost sight of what it is to be invited into God's presence through being washed, through being worthy, through being approved. God is saying, I approve of you. Come back into my presence. You're worthy to stand before me. Come and pray and seek me. You're worthy. Come and follow me and know me. Come into my presence. Come and ask me and claim my promises. But a lot of Christians, if we're not careful, our life with God becomes so filled with dead works. This is why I say, if you just turn your prayer time, okay, I'm gonna pray for a half hour to an hour, and I gotta get that hour done. I just gotta, you know, get that half hour done or whatever it is. If that's what our prayer time is like, it's dead. It's dead. Okay, I gotta do my duty. I'm gonna just sit here, read my Bible for 45 minutes because that's what will make God happy. Folks, that's wrong. When we have a revelation of being made kings and priests, when we understand our worthiness, when we understand the approval of God, when we understand that, you know, He has called us into His presence, there'll be something in us, in our spirit, that'll be drawn to Him. Oh, wait a minute, I don't have to do this. I want to do this. Oh, I don't have to, you know. See, in the Old Testament, they had to do all those things. Do you know what the difference between a New Testament believer and an Old Testament believer is? The Old Testament believer had to follow God. The New Testament believer gets to follow God. Do you know the difference? That is what God was hoping to accomplish by washing us in the blood of His Son so that we would live in this living relationship with Him every single day and not allowing our Christian life to just be a bunch of dead religious works. I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I don't have to pray. I get to pray. I don't have to read my word. I get to read my Bible. Do you understand the difference in the mentality there? But if you don't know what worthiness is, you'll just start to drift away. And all of a sudden we say, well, I haven't prayed in so long. I'm not worthy to go back. Wrong. You're worthy to go back. Oh, I haven't read my Bible in so long. I'm ashamed of myself. Oh, God, I'm not worthy. You better get rid of that. You better get rid of that. Oh, I'm so ashamed. I haven't been to church in so long. I'm not worthy anymore. Stop it. You've been redeemed from dead works. Get over that idea that you have to. It's you get to. Oh, Father, let's go ahead. Let's just pray right now. Father God, we just love You and praise You. Father, thank You for Your goodness. We love You and we are so grateful that You have made us accepted in the Beloved. Father, thank You that You've washed us in that blood, and by that blood You have cleansed our conscience from serving with dead works. Thank You, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we praise You. You have made us kings and priests. Lord, thank You that You've invited us into Your presence. Thank You, Lord, that we can go before You. We can be heard in heaven. We can know that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We're alive with Christ. We're risen together with Him. Father, we're sitting right there on that throne. That blood is in heaven representing us as the ultimate price that was paid to give us this righteousness and this standing before You. That, Lord God, when we have this knowledge and we use our faith, we come before You knowing that You hear every word, knowing that we belong there with You, knowing that we can have boldness. Father, knowing that we have been given by grace the very worthiness of Jesus Himself. Thank You, Lord God. And Father, now that we know these things, draw us to Yourself. Father, we are drawn to You. Drawn to You. Father God, I want to pray. Father God, I want to be in the Word. Lord God, we get to. What a privilege it is to be a Christian. And Lord God, I just pray for this congregation right here tonight that if there's any that are facing a sense of unworthiness, that would just get broken off their life. And that, Father, they would just jump right back into that place with You and come before Your presence with gladness and boldness. With all eyes closed, every head bowed here, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you personally invited Him into your heart? The Bible says in Romans 10:9, It says that if you'll confess with your mouth or speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's the first and foremost promise of God. That if you'll confess that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and if you'll believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead for your sake, he'll save you. Save you from eternal punishment, save you from a place called hell. If you're here tonight and you've never made that decision, eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to make you stand up, or I'm not going to send anyone over to you. But if you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I need eternal life and my sins need to be forgiven. If that's you, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. I'm going to simply ask you to lift your hand. Once I see that hand, I'll have you put it right back down. You'll just hear me say you can put it down. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now? What I'll do is I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer right there in your seat. You can ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Take him by faith. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here that say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need to be saved. If that's you, could you just lift your hand high enough so I can see it? It wouldn't surprise me. It seems like everybody here is a Christian. I'm just making sure. But I'm going to give another invitation. Still, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you're here tonight and you know that you've been dealing with that sense of unworthiness, you know you're a believer. You know you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, but you'd be honest and say, Pastor, I've been dealing with this sense of unworthiness. Maybe you've allowed your prayer life to die out, or maybe you've just felt like you haven't been good enough. You've been dealing with that. If that's you, I want to pray with you. And again, I'm just going to leave you right there in your seat. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? You can put all your hands down. Place is, probably, I won't even, make mention of a percentage, but many of us. God loves you. Every believer goes through that. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ shed his blood so that you would have the approval of God. Even if you've missed it, even if you've walked away and you haven't been living for God like you should, or maybe you just feel like even if you're doing everything right, you still can have a sense of unworthiness at times. God is calling you back. He wants to help you. He's there for you. I'm going to just pray over you. I'm not going to necessarily lead you in a prayer, but I'm going to just pray for those that lifted their hands. Father God, Lord, I just pray for every single one of us here tonight. That, Lord, that they are going through that sense of unworthiness. Father, I pray that your word that was spoken here tonight, Lord, would become revelation in their spirit. That, Lord God, that they would see with open eyes what your word says about the righteousness and the worthiness that you have given to each and every one of us. Father, that we can freely come back into your presence, fellowship with you, fellowship with your word. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I take authority over that sense of unworthiness. And Lord, I see by the Spirit of God how those demonic personalities have tried to convince people of their unworthiness. And in Jesus' name, I rebuke those foul spirits. Father, in Jesus' name, I rebuke those foul demons and those harassing spirits that have been attacking these people. And Father, in Jesus' name, they get free of that sense of unworthiness, free from that sense of guilt or shame or blame. And Father, I say by the power of God, they will walk in the fullness of their relationship with you. Father, they're being drawn back. being drawn back. Yes, Lord, if there's unconfessed sin, they'll confess it. Lord, if there's something that we've done or let get in the way, Lord, we'll address that. But Father, I thank you that that sense, that truth of worthiness is being restored into their hearts here tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord God. Let's just worship Him just right there where you sit. Actually, let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just take a moment to worship. I know it's a little different. I appreciate you being patient. We're going a little bit longer here tonight. Father God, we just bless you and worship you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. If you're one of the ones that, you know, lifted your hand, feeling that sense of unworthiness, right now, just lift your hands to God, your Father, and just come home, so to speak. He's there for you. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, you've redeemed us. You have purged us from our conscience to serve you with dead works. Father, we serve you with life and desire. And Father, a gladness to know that you love us, approve of us. Lord, obviously we've got to live right. Yes, Lord, we've got to obey you. But Lord, we know this, that worthiness only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I pray for each one. Yeah. Yes. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, I take authority over that religious devil, that spirit of religion that is attacking that person. I take authority over it in Jesus' mighty name. That spirit of religion. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I command that spirit to loose and let that man go. Loose and let that man go. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You're kings and priests. You're kings and priests. You're kings and priests. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Reverend Tony, is it possible for you to sing the chorus of the song that you're playing right now? Yeah, is that something that we could, yeah. Could you just sing the chorus of that? Folks, I think this will be familiar to you. Just go ahead. Let's all just sing this. Upon each one. Father, we'll be doers of the word. We'll be blessed in our deeds. Thank you, Lord, for that precious blood that has redeemed us, that has reconciled us to you. And Father God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.